Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is الرحمن.
Allah
who is المنان.
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Karimi is the guest speaker for today's discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
So recently in the world, we see the different cases of Quran desecration, Quran burning in European countries, unfortunately under the protection of police and security guards. This is the violation of Islamic laws, the Quran desecration and Quran burning. Now, when getting back to the Islamic history, we could find that during the history of Islam, before Islam, the advent of Islam, we can say the army of Abraha from Abyssinia was supposed to attack Holy Kaaba. And Allah himself, according to the ayahs of the Holy Quran, defended the Holy Kaaba with sending sparrows, or we can say little birds, with the fiery stones in their heads, you know, on the army of Abraha, and somehow defended his right, his holy house, his holy Kaaba. Now, why not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends his book, the Holy Quran, through such miraculous actions?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we are talking about the concept of miracle, or technically speaking in Islamic terminology, mu'jaza. So mu'jaza is a supernatural action done by a prophet to prove his prophethood. Now, when we study the theological books, we have different words for this supernatural action. I mean, technically speaking, mu'jaza is the technical term for that supernatural action done by a prophet. A person claims that he is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is connected to the divine, and to prove his claim, he need to bring a supernatural, to perform a supernatural deed that yes. Other people are not able to do that. And this is called mu'jaza.
That's right.
Then we have kirama. Kirama is the same, but technically it is what is done by the imams of the Ahl al-Bayt, because they do not claim prophethood. They claim to be the imams.
Yes.
So this is a supernatural action by imam, and this is called kirama, to be distinguished from mu'jiza,
yes,
done by a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And the third technical term here is called irhas.
Yes.
Irhas is something that happens before the advent of a prophet. And this is the case with what happened during the event of Abraha. Because at that time there was no prophet. Prophet Muhammad was not yet born.
Yes.
So we cannot...
It was the same year he was born, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was Amul Fil,
yes. Yes. So 40 years later he was chosen as the last prophet. So still he is not in need of performing a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So technically this is called irhas.
Yes.
As a supernatural deed, which is, performed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the advent of a prophet.
Yes.
These are three technical terms that we have, and we know that the, lasting miracle of our prophet is the Noble Book of Quran.
That's right.
That is about different terms in theological discussions. Now, there is no doubt about the fact that when that army tried to attack the Holy Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, performed this miracle,
yes,
and he defended his holy land and his holy house.
So you mean irhas is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly?
Yeah.
It is not related to prophets.
No.
But it is a proof for the authentication of a presence of a prophet or something
and
like that.
And it is related to the coming of our prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, because that is why people call it irhas,
mm-hmm,
because somehow it is related to the coming of a prophet.
Yes.
It is happening in the same year, mm-hmm, as the birth of the prophet, which is giving people a sign,
okay,
of coming of a prophet.
That's right.
Now, the point is that when we talk about the concept of miracle, we shouldn't think that miracle is going to happen on a daily basis. No. Referring to the verses of the Quran about the prophets, peace be upon them, we see that, each and every prophet performed maybe two or three miracles. Our prophet, his most significant miracle is the Noble Book of Quran and maybe a few other cases. In many cases, people ask the prophet to show a miracle, but this request was not accepted.
Yes.
Because we are talking about a supernatural action, which is against the laws and principles that people are familiar with. So we shouldn't expect the prophet, we shouldn't expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform miracle on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's not a miracle anymore.
Yes.
So that is one point. The other point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings with free will.
Yes.
There is no jabr or predestination. Now imagine, for each and every forbidden action, which is, a very heinous act, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to intervene. Which it will result, the result of this is that people are not free anymore. So imagine I'm going to do a forbidden action, and right after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish me.
Mm-hmm.
So for sure, no one is going to do any forbidden action because they are fearful of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right after the action. So this is not free will anymore. People may be righteous, may not do any haram action anymore, but this is out of force. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sunnah, and the law, the divine law, is not to punish the people in this world right after their actions.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Miracle is an exception. It's not going to happen, as I mentioned, mm-hmm, on a daily basis.
Okay.
So imagine, which one is, when we compare burning a Quran,
yes,
and killing a noble man like Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, which one is more heinous? I believe that to kill Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is of course a more heinous action.
Okay.
So did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish the killers of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? So it was possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to even punish them before the tragedy of Karbala. Or all the other people who killed all the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, except for Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, who is in his major occultation. So we shouldn't expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to punish any disbeliever right after he's doing a heinous action. No.
But Sheikh, the punishment might not be at the moment, for example, out of a sudden, but for example, through some means, or for example, in the future years, there will be some punishment for
It might happen.
Okay.
I'm not negating that. Mm-hmm. But this world is not, willed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the place for reward and punishment.
Okay.
And that is one of the philosophies for having hereafter. That is the main abode for punishment and reward. Otherwise, people may not feel that they have free will anymore. And that is why you see that many disbelievers may not be punished in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the questions. That's the answer is that the punishment is mainly in the hereafter and, of course, in the world of Barzakh, in the grave.
But for sure, Quran burning and Quran desecration by a Muslim, of course, so-called pseudo-called Muslims, you know, pseudo-Muslim, is a heinous act.
Sure.
Maybe the most heinous act that a person can do.
But as I mentioned, already people have killed Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, a living imam. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervene? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not intervene. Because people are created to act based upon their free will. And there is not, jab or predestination. Let me give you another example. People compare burning the Quran to the army of Abraha. Now, my question is that, was it the only case in the history of Islam that the Kaaba was desecrated and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervened?
Yes.
We have other examples that some people, especially some Muslims, somehow damaged the holy Kaaba.
Mm-hmm.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not intervene. Maybe the best example is what happened by the army of Yazid. We know that after the event of Ashura, there were several uprisings by people who were against Yazid ibn Muawiyah. One of them was the uprising of the people of Medina.
Mm-hmm.
To confront them, Yazid sent an army led by Muslim ibn Uqba. And we know that what happened in the city of Medina for a couple of days, they plundered the people, they desecrated the women and so on and so forth. Then Abdullah bin Zubair, who at that time was in the city of Mecca, he also opposed Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and Yazid sent an army by Muslim ibn Uqba to the city of Mecca. And of course, on the way to Mecca, he passed away, and Husayn ibn Umair, he became the leader of that army. And then there was, the army of Abdullah ibn Zubair, they took refuge in Kaaba, inside the holy city of Kaaba. And the history tells us that the army of Husayn ibn Umair, they somehow, used catapult and somehow damaged a part of the Kaaba. And they burned the holy Kaaba, or at least a part of it. And of course, later they hear the news of the death of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and they left the city. Now, the question is that in this event also, the holy Kaaba is partly damaged and burned. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not intervene. This is my point. Miracles are exceptions. They are not going to happen on a daily basis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world, has created human beings to act based upon their free will.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, people are free to do good actions, to do bad actions. As I mentioned, if they feel that they will be punished right after doing a prohibited actions, no one is going to do any prohibited actions anymore.
That's right.
They will be righteous, but this righteousness is not of any value because they are forced to be righteous.
That's right.
For that, yes, people may do many heinous actions. Nowadays we have these superpowers killing so many innocent women, children in different parts of the world, which is not less than burning the Quran, I believe. But still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them time. This is the whole philosophy of creating human beings with free will, and they need to wait their punishment in the hereafter. Of course, in some cases, people may taste some punishment in this world, but the main punishment is in the world of Barzakh and mainly in the hereafter.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh. We can say Arab English Radio Call of Islam page and all his staff condemn this action, this heinous action of burning the Holy Quran, desecration of any type of Holy Scripture, because Islam has respect for all the Holy Scriptures, Holy Books and denominations, religious denominations all across the world. And really, we can say this is not a kind of freedom of action or freedom of speech. You know, that you under the police protection burn the Holy Book of a majority of the believing people all across the world. We condemn this action from the side of Arab English Radio, Call of Islam page, and Call of Islam Radio. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Erubashavet, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Puraza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Peace talks between Ansarullah and Saudi delegates are in progress in the Saudi kingdom's capital. In this round of negotiations, the focus is on finding ways to alleviate the humanitarian crisis caused by the Saudi-led war in Yemen. The head of the Ansarullah national delegation team, Muhammad Abdesalam, believes if talks are successful, it could lead to an ultimate political solution.
No doubt we will discuss the payment of salaries to Yemeni employees, opening the airports and seaports, prisoner exchange, the withdrawal of all foreign military forces, and rebuilding Yemen, which could lead to a political solution.
One of the main topics to be discussed is the presence of foreign military personnel scattered throughout areas controlled by the Saudi-led coalition. In recent years, the Yemeni islands have been transformed into military bases and airfields operated by the UAE and Western military forces.
There can be no peace until foreign military troops withdraw from Yemeni islands and withdraw forces from the provinces of Hadhramaut, Ma'rib, and Shabwa. If the occupation does not end, there will never be peace.
Even if peace talks succeed in ending the humanitarian crisis in Yemen, will it be enough to end the war if foreign forces remain in the country?
The Ansarullah delegation has made it very clear, foreign military troops must leave the entire Yemeni land. And if this is something that is not accomplished through peaceful negotiations, the Ansarullah-backed government will continue to fight. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
Sick Palestinian children in the Gaza Strip continue to suffer due to Israel's illegal and inhumane practices. According to a report released on Wednesday by the UK-based organization Save the Children, the Israeli regime has deprived some 400 Palestinian children in Gaza of vital medical care in the first half of 2023. Gazans, including patients, must obtain special permits to leave the territory through an Israeli-controlled crossing. Human rights groups have raised the alarm over Israel's violation of international laws by depriving Gazans of their freedom of movement.
Israel continues to violate international laws and norms by denying patients and their companions the necessary permits to travel outside Gaza. Israel is endangering the lives of those sick children by depriving them of urgent medical care.
Hospitals in the Gaza Strip lack many essential drugs needed for treating patients suffering from severe illnesses. Last year, three Gazan children died while waiting for their exit permits. Press TV met with the Zidan family in the southern Gaza Strip town of Khan Yunis. Israel has repeatedly denied them an exit permit.
My son is very sick and needs urgent medical care outside Gaza. He's 15 months old and only weighs 5 kilograms. There's no medical treatment for him in Gaza, and Israel refuses to grant us exit permits. I call on the whole world to save my son.
Getting an Israeli permit to access the health care needed outside the impoverished Gaza can be a stressful and unpredictable process. Nearly 1,100 patients have died in the territory because of the Israeli blockade in the past 16 years.
There is no secret about the procedures which have been implemented against the Palestinian besieged Gaza Strip over the past 16 years, and especially over the past year, in which the Israeli authorities have denied entry to many hundreds of Palestinian children from getting medical treatment in the West Bank and East Jerusalem hospitals. And that is consistent with the Israeli apartheid regime.
The health sector in Gaza has been grappling with acute shortage of medicines due to the Israeli blockade in place since 2007. Tel Aviv's blockade has taken its toll on the health and the well-being of people in the Gaza Strip. Hundreds of Palestinian patients, including children, have already lost their lives due to Israel's inhumane practices. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Leader of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, Kim Jong-un, traveled to Russia this week for a tour and summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The DPRK's Kim visited a cosmodrome as he hopes to develop satellite technology.
I am honored that President Putin has shown a deep interest, provided an opportunity to engage in a conference at a space launch facility, and given us a chance to gain deeper understanding of the current and future of a space-powered nation.
The DPRK leader also toured a jet fighter facility as Russia and the DPRK deepen their relations. Warnings from the U.S. against DPRK-Russia cooperation continued, this time from officials planning extended deterrence with their South Korean counterparts.
In the context of mounting DPRK threats to regional stability, the United States will continue its efforts to counter any and all threats to the U.S. ROK alliance.
The U.S. strategy of extended deterrence refers to the so-called nuclear umbrella, the U.S. commitment to use all of its forces, including nuclear weapons, in defense of an ally, in this case, South Korea. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol has sought to strengthen that commitment with the routine deployment here of U.S. nuclear-capable weapons. Experts in Seoul, however, feel that the deployment of more U.S. weapons causes the DPRK only to invest further in its own military deterrence.
These actions by South Korea, the United States, and Japan are not contributing to eliminating the DPRK's nuclear weapons, but bringing the DPRK, China, and Russia closer and militarily strengthening the country. So the attempted deterrence of the DPRK's nuclear program is actually causing its nuclear program and missiles to be strengthened.
Earlier this week, South Korea announced its intention to purchase 25 more U.S. F-35 Joint Strike fighter jets. Frank Smith, Seoul.
It all started with smiles and warm applause as Ursula von der Leyen began delivering her annual State of the Union speech in the European Parliament on Wednesday. The head of the EU's executive arm, the European Commission, painted a rosy picture.
Together, we have shown that when Europe is bold and united, it gets things done.
The atmosphere in the chamber soon changed.
À l'appel de l'histoire.
It's time to come down from the ivory tower. One third in the EU, millions, don't have enough to eat because of inflation. You didn't say a single word about them today.
One lawmaker even questioned how von der Leyen can sleep at night.
95 million people in the EU are threatened by poverty. There is a broken energy market while the energy and arms industries are making record profits.
The Commission President was told the so-called working poor are being ignored. Experts confirm it is a growing phenomenon in the EU.
People can be homeless and have a job. There is in-work homelessness, but there is also groups that are higher risk of losing their job from one day to the next.
Von der Leyen told lawmakers she's proposing €50 billion for Ukraine from the EU budget up to 2027. This is in addition to the huge amounts of money being spent on Ukraine by individual member states, most of whom are in NATO, where military spending is also increasing. Not to mention the EU is developing its own army. A number of legislators criticised the EU's position with regards to Russia.
The failed sanctions policy, sorry to say, that hasn't really helped Ukraine in any meaningful way. It hasn't brought the end of the war any closer, but it's hurting the European economy and European people.
Slovakian MEP Miroslav Radatovsky claimed the real purpose behind the war in Ukraine is for the United States to occupy Europe and the world. Separately, a number of lawmakers criticised how refugees are treated by the EU if they are not from Ukraine. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
The Vatican envoy, Cardinal Matteo Zuppi, has landed in Beijing for a three-day meeting with China's high officials. The People's Republic of China and the Vatican have not shared diplomatic relations since 1951, so this will be the first high-level meeting between the two states in more than 70 years. The Vatican's initiative is aimed at paving paths to peace in Ukraine. This, as the European Union has done almost nothing to ease tensions in the conflict, as Italy's Vice Prime Minister said during a press conference on Wednesday.
A smaller state like the Vatican is doing much more for ending the conflict in Ukraine than the European Union. I wish the Vatican envoy best of luck. I hope the war will end soon because it has multiple ramifications. Poland's government decision to call on the EU to further extend the embargo on imports of Ukrainian grain is one of them, and it is highly worrying.
Vatican envoy Zuppi has also travelled to Kiev and Moscow in June and to Washington DC in July as part of attempts to bring Ukraine and Russia to the negotiating table. However, high officials in Kiev have excluded the possibility of Vatican success in resolving the military conflict. More specifically, Ukrainian authorities have said Pope Francis cannot mediate in the Ukraine war because he's pro-Russian. The head of the Holy See, Pope Francis, has often angered Kiev and those supporting Ukraine in the war with Russia. If on one side, the 86-year-old pontiff has repeatedly expressed sympathy with the Ukrainians, on the other, he has also expressed understanding for Vladimir Putin's strategy in Ukraine by saying NATO was barking at Russia's door by expanding east and lately by praising Russia's imperial past.
I'd like to point out that the Vatican's geopolitical approach to this conflict is multilateral. That's why the papal envoy has already been to Ukraine, Russia and the US. The Holy See believes that holding a neutral position can open doors for peace initiatives, in contrast with the interests of arms suppliers.
Since February, Beijing has been promoting a 12-point peace plan, which features, among other things, a ceasefire, a resumption of peace talks, and the termination of unilateral sanctions against Russia. However, Ukraine has replied to China that it would not accept any peace proposal involving loss of territory or freezing the conflict. Max Civili, Rome.
They have waited years for justice that will never come. Mark Kelly's sister, Carol Ann, was murdered during the Troubles in Northern Ireland.
12 years of age. She was shot in the back of the head. She was shot behind her left ear. And there is absolutely no reason in the world that anyone can give any parent or brother or sister as to why their little sister should be murdered on her own street at the front door of her house.
Mark and hundreds more in Northern Ireland may never have closure now under the UK government's so-called legacy bill that grants immunity to IRA volunteers and to British soldiers for historical atrocities there. It's proving a huge test for Anglo-Irish relations, too. Amid a chorus of criticism from around the world, the Republic of Ireland is weighing up a human rights case against London for the first time in more than five decades.
Everyone, no matter who was affected, whether you were affected by IRA violence, paramilitary violence, by the state itself, everyone has a right to justice, some kind of justice, and the very least to investigate whatever had happened to their loved ones. I mean, and that's just the basics, Article 2 of the European Convention, you know.
Under the new legislation, if anyone accused of murder gives information to a so-called truth recovery body, they'll escape prosecution. An attempt, many say, by the British government to hide the truth.
There were hundreds of IRA volunteers that went to jail during the conflict. But if we look at, in stark contrast to British soldiers or the paramilitary RUC, not one ever served a full sentence for the killing of civilians during the conflict. In fact, a number of British soldiers were let out early and given medals once they went back into the British Army. So there's a stark contrast between both. This is really about immunity for British soldiers.
The legislation is now going through the House of Lords, where it's not expected to receive any amendments. And after that, it's going to receive royal assent in just a couple of days. But the victims' families say it's not going to deter them in their pursuit for justice.
3,500 people were killed during the conflict between Protestants loyal to British rule and the majority Catholics who wanted to break away from it. 2,500 of those cases remain unresolved, and it's those who have already paid the most who are being asked to pay again. Saeed Pereza, London.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has told European Parliament Foreign and Defence Committee members that Ukraine will join the military alliance.
Ukraine has never been closer to a membership in NATO than now.
Having allegedly provoked Moscow for years, Stoltenberg was accused at the hearing of now turning his sights on Beijing under Washington's direction.
China has not illegally invaded and bombed a sovereign country in over 40 years, while the US and our allies have hardly stopped in the same period, killing millions of civilians, displacing millions more.
NATO's 31 member states have been called on to stop dithering over the question of providing long-range missiles to Ukraine.
They need these ATACMS, the long-range missiles.
Security analysts say Ukraine joining NATO and the country being supplied with long-range missiles are two moves that could trigger nuclear war. We've been asking members of the public if they are concerned.
It's so far-fetched for us as normal citizens, the thought of that, but I think it should be regarded as a possibility.
When you know that only 5 nuclear bombs can like destroy the whole planet, I don't think we're going to get to that point.
As the conflict rages on with no mention of peace negotiations, the European Commission has just cut its Eurozone economic growth forecasts. But commentators point out that wars are very lucrative for some. And in reality, they suggest, the US-led NATO alliance has nothing to gain from peace. NATO is merely justifying its existence. That's the damning assessment of some legislators.
You said that Ukraine is gradually gaining ground. That's not true. Since you were here the last time, Ukraine has lost territory. 500,000 men are dead.
Some lawmakers point out that corruption in Ukraine is still a major problem, Oleksiy Reznikov was recently pushed out of the country's defence ministry. He was considered one of the West's closest allies. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
...24-year-old Chris Carver left behind a fiancée and an unborn child. His family is still engaged in a bitter fight for justice as they consider his death a murder.
Chris was unarmed at the time of his death. It was caused by a single shot fired by a police officer through the windscreen of a car he was driving in South London. Since the tragic day, his family have said multiple times that they truly believe that if Chris had been white, that the police would have responded very differently. And it's quite possible that he'd still be alive today.
On Saturday, supporters joined his family members for a demonstration outside police headquarters and later the British Parliament to maintain pressure on the authorities.
We've got a police force that, in our opinion, is out of control and they need to be brought to justice. This is a young man that was unarmed. He was chased by the police down a road at 10 o'clock at night. And there is no repercussions for those people that chased him. We stand with the police. We stand with the family when they say that if Chris was white, he wouldn't have been killed. Chris has been chased and he's been killed because he's black.
An officer involved in the incident has been suspended. However, 1 year on, Carver's family have yet to find out if the police gunman will face any criminal charges. A murder investigation is underway, but the family has expressed frustration at the slow progress of the procedure. To this day, no British firearms officer has ever been convicted of murder or manslaughter after firing their weapon on duty in the UK. Activists believe this may be the case to set the precedent, as complaints of racism against the British police continue to grow. Robert Carter, London.
Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, has said, "Whenever I remember the martyrdom of the children of Fatima, peace be upon her, my eyes filled with tears."
The Limelight.
A study shows that lead exposure has killed more than 5 million people in the world in just 1 year. Contamination from battery recyclers, tainted cookware, and fertilizers could be contributing to the health crisis. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to GRIST, there is no safe level of lead. The naturally occurring metal is so toxic that the Environmental Protection Agency began banning its use in paint and gasoline in 1970s, following the lead of other countries. Since then, a growing body of research has confirmed the health effects of lead exposure, including heart and kidney diseases. The effects are particularly pronounced in children. Exposure to lead in the first 5 years of life has been shown to hinder brain development, stunting a child's ability to learn, focus, and control their impulses. A new study from the World Bank tallies the staggering worldwide toll, says 5.5 million deaths from heart diseases because of exposure to lead in 2019 alone. Researchers also found that exposure to lead in children under 5 years old led to a loss of more than 750 million IQ points, a standardized measure of intellectual ability. People in low and middle income countries, where blood lead levels are higher on average than in high income countries, were hit hardest. The overall cost of exposure was $6 trillion in 2019, the equivalent of nearly 7% of the world's economic output. Bjorn Larsen, a consultant with the World Bank and lead author of the study, said, "There has been this idea that since the phase-out of lead in gasoline in 1970s, the problem has more or less been solved. Our estimate indicates that the health effects and the cost of lead exposure is possibly as large as the health effects and cost of fine particulate ambient air pollution and household air pollution combined. That is enormous." The study published in the journal Lancet Public Health recently relied on blood lead level estimates in a 2019 study that aggregated data sources on health and morality outcomes worldwide. Larsen and his co-author then used existing research on the effects of lead to calculate IQ loss in children and deaths from cardiovascular diseases in adults. They also estimated the economic cost of the loss in IQ and deaths. The findings were surprising, Larsen said. IQ losses were about 80% higher, and the number of deaths from cardiovascular disease was six times higher than previous estimates. Larsen attributed the difference to improvements in the understandings of the effects of lead exposure and a more comprehensive methodology that better captured how exposure could cause cardiovascular diseases. In low- and middle-income countries, the researchers found that the average is still about 4.6 micrograms per deciliter, which Larsen said drove the findings on IQ loss and cardiovascular disease. There are many factors causing higher levels of blood lead levels in lower-income countries. Lead battery recycling units may contaminate the air, water, or soil in and around population centers. Aluminum pots and pans might be tainted with lead that eventually leaches into food. Leaded paint is also still used in many countries, and lead has been found in phosphate fertilizers, which could be contaminating crops. It's unclear which of these sources are driving elevated levels of blood in lower-income countries. Larson said that government and aid organizations should routinely test children to get better understanding of lead exposure, and that, in turn, could help identify hotspots and potential sources of the toxic metal. Larson said, "The understanding of these sources is very incomplete. We are decades behind on lead because it has been a neglected area up until now." According to Medical Express, lead poisoning has a far greater impact on global health than previously thought, potentially contributing to over 5 million deaths a year and posing a similar threat to air pollution, modeling research suggested. The study, described as a wake-up call, also estimated that exposure to the toxic metal causes young children in developing countries to lose an average of nearly 6 IQ points each. Lead pollution has been shown to cause a range of serious health problems, particularly relating to heart disease and the brain development of small children, resulting in leaded gasoline being banned worldwide. But people can still be exposed to the potent neurotoxin via food, soil, cookware, fertilizers, cosmetics, lead acid, car batteries, and other sources.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Salaamu alaikum, and so welcome to this program of Lantern with a new story. Dear brothers and sisters, on the continuation of this program, Lantern, we have an interesting story. Let's listen to it. The title of today's story is about the woman who was the master of the pious man. It is said that when the pious man was asked who his master was, he explained, "She was an old woman. One day I was possessed by such ecstasy and yearning and sense of unity that not even a hair of anything else could be found in me. In this selfless mood, I went to a stroll in the desert, where I happened to meet an elderly lady burdened with a bag of flour. She asked me to carry the flour for her, but I was incapable of taking it, so I beckoned to a lion to take the load. The lion came up to me, and I set the sack upon its back. I then asked the old lady what she intended to say to the townspeople, since I did not want them to apprehend who I was. 'I'll tell them,' she replied, 'that I met a vain tyrant.' 'What was talking about?' I exclaimed. The lady explained thus, first asking, 'Has the lion been put to the trouble or not?' 'No,' I answered, 'except for the fact that you burden down those whom God himself has not burdened.' She objected, 'Is that not oppression?' 'So it is,' I admitted. 'And despite this,' she continued, 'still you desire the townspeople to know that you have subjected a lion and are a miracle worker. Is that not vanity?' 'Yes, it is,' I confessed. 'So I repented, experiencing abasement from my former exaltation. Indeed, that old woman's words performed the function of a spiritual guide and master for me. That was all for this part, so let's shift to the explanation and the important points of this new story.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Lantern from Arab English Radio. Well, what we do in this program is to listen to certain stories and, you know, these stories are religious in meanings. And we try to, ponder on these stories and take some moral lessons out of them in order for us as Muslims to make use of them in our ordinary and daily life. Well, the story we've just listened to is about vanity. You know, that's an important social principle bearing useful fruits and creating popularity is humility and politeness. Politeness not only distinguishes a man, but in addition gains popularity for him and makes him beloved in the eyes of people. Arrogance and vanity is a quality which earns disaffection and disregard from others and sows the seeds of enmity in the hearts. While praising the courteous people, the Holy Book of Quran says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa ibadur rahman alladhina yamshuna 'alal ardi hawna wa idha khatabahumul jahilun qalu salama." And the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who walk on the earth in humility. And when the ignorant address them, they say, "Peace." Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 63. A proud and self-centered man always thinks that he is great while others are little and despised. He does not like to stand on equal level with others. He wants to walk ahead of others, to sit in a higher and distinguished place. He expects others to salute him. If somebody advises him, he becomes angry. And if he advises others, he uses harsh language. And if his advice is not accepted, he becomes furious. If he teaches, he insults his pupils and treats them as his servants. Now, you can see how can a man having such behavior possibly create friends? Or what can people learn from such a person? That is why the Holy Book of Quran has clearly condemned selfishness and conceit. أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًا لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ Is there not in hell an abode for the haughty? Surah Az-Zumar, verse number 60. Similar views have been expressed by the sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. And he stated that there is an abode for excessive torture in hell, reserved for the arrogant people. Now let's have a short break and soon we will be back.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Welcome back, dear audience. The Holy Book of Quran narrates the useful teachings of Prophet Luqman to his son, in which, amongst other things, he says, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ And swell not thy cheek for pride at men, nor walk in insolence through the earth, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves not any arrogant boaster. Surah Al-Luqman, verse number 18. The sixth Imam explains that pride is based on an inferiority complex. He says, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَتِيهِ إِلَّا مِنْ ذِلَّةٍ يَجِدُهَا فِي نَفْسِهِ. No one shows haughtiness and pride but because of some inferiority which he feels in himself. After through studies of the subject of arrogance, the authorities have endorsed what we said and further explained that the sense of superiority in one person or a nation amounts for segregation and hatred of another. Enmity, controversy, and present disputes are all the products of this theory of hatred. The way of thinking is actually the result of the false prestige and feeling between himself and the others. Okay, dear listeners, it seems that our time for this episode has come to its end. Today, we intended to shed light on some facts that, humility and politeness are the two of the fundamental principles of sociology. And as already stated, in Islamic teachings, it has been emphasized for the people to avoid conceit and superiority complex and win the favor of people and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through politeness. Thank you very much for being with us in this episode, and until another episode, I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Coming up is the news.
Floods in eastern Libya rises to nearly 11,500, as another 10,000 people are still unaccounted for. Iran says that it will continue its positive cooperation with the UN nuclear agency, despite its decision to bar several IAEA inspectors based on safeguards agreements. And thousands of